Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow-up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, I interviewed Dennis Prager, always a delight, and we also talked to the guy who owns a restaurant out here who was fighting back against the lockdown. We'll get into that in a second. First, I'll tell you about Blue Nile. Looking for a gift that sparkles this holiday? BlueNile.com. Build her dream engagement ring. Choose from 100,000-plus ethically sourced GIA-graded diamonds in every shape and size with an endless selection of settings, or celebrate life's special moments with Blue Nile's exclusive Lightbox lab-grown diamond fine jewelry. Released just in time for the holidays, collection includes new and exclusive earrings, pendants, bracelets, and rings, accessibly priced and set in 24 karat gold. Give the gift of premium Lightbox lab-grown diamonds and fashion and jewelry this year. Just $800 a carat. It's Blue Nile, right, Dawson?
Celebrate your love and life's special moments with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Adam Carolla listeners get $50 off $500. This podcast exclusive is only good through December and includes engagement. Use code Adam. That's code Adam. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
Hey, it's Eric Stromer.
Hey, it's kind of my thing.
Hey, I'm going to... All right, sorry. Hi, I'm Eric Stromer.
Let's not live in the past. You should listen to Ace on the House because me and Stromer dispense building advice every Saturday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
I might even go as far as to say professional building advice.
Hey, get me some coffee.
There you go. Here I go. I'm running.
Ace on the House, every Saturday on Carolla Digital. Download now at AdamCarolla.com, the Podcast One app, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Ace on the House.
Well, Dennis Prager, dear friend Dennis Prager, has joined us for the second half of the show. No Safe Spaces is the name of the project. You've heard us talk about this before. It's available on DVD and a stream at NoSafeSpaces.com. 99% with the people on Rotten Tomatoes. And good to see you, my friend.
You ever wonder who the 1% is? I always love that. I'd like to interview them.
I think it's up there with the 4 out of 5 dentists whose patients chew gum recommend sugarless Trident. There is, in fact, a dentist who there's 20% of the dentists recommend chewing bubble gum. Who is that dentist? Yes, who are these people?
Did you ever see there's a very old ad, I think from the 50s or 40s, of doctors recommending Camel cigarettes?
Yeah. Well, to be fair, they're probably recommending Camel cigarettes over Lucky Strikes, you know, other cigarettes.
Or over some drug.
Right.
Over heroin.
Well, now I got all these thoughts rushing to my head. So I have this thought, and it'll be, maybe you don't know Rotten Tomatoes.
I do.
As well as I do.
Not.
But
that was such a quick rejoinder.
No, I didn't mean you didn't know what Rotten Tomatoes was.
I mean,
you may not be as familiar and go back
as far. I am not.
Okay, so it's something I wanted to bring up on your program, and we're just talking about everything under the sun, and, you know, it's sort of the window closed. But, you know, something that I'm really drilling down on these days is how so many entities have lost their cachet. And cachet is not quite their validity. You know, so when you read something from the New York Times, it doesn't mean anything anymore. And if you hear something on CNN, it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Right.
Or LA Times. Or, you know, this weird time that we're living in, the Oscars, they don't mean anything anymore.
That's right.
We all know they've been permeated by pop culture and the left and progressivism. And so the Oscars don't mean what they meant. And the Grammys and all these Emmys, all these major either publications or events, Pulitzer Prize doesn't mean what it meant. Nobel Peace Prize.
That's right.
Man of the Year.
Who cares?
Biden's Man of the Year hasn't even done anything.
Right. No, he's not even Man of the Year. He's Person of the Year with Kamala Harris.
Right. All right. So there's no more Man of the Year. There's two people for Man of the Year, and neither one of them has done anything. And so now these Pulitzer Prizes or these Nobel Peace Prizes or the Oscars, they just don't mean. And I think, by the way, the readership and the viewership and everything, I think it's all fallen apart because they did this. I think people know, even if they can't put their finger on it, they know what the Oscars means now versus meant 25 years ago.
Yep.
And the viewership falls. Rotten Tomatoes has done the exact same thing to their organization.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Their numbers don't mean anything anymore.
Why?
Because our movie, 99% of the people, 47% of the critics. Go look at any movie that has even the slight, look at the Hillbilly Elegy. Look at anything that has just the slightest kernel of what can be construed as a right or Republican or conservative, and they always take a major hit. So Hillbilly Elegy, I think Ron Howard directed, ran on Netflix, blah, blah, blah. Chris, you can look it up, but it was... Again, it's our thing. It's 85% with the people and 31% with the critics. You can just see a big drop off on anything even close. Again, our movie's not a conservative movie, but anything that even has you in it or my name in it or anything, it's 86 with the people, Hillbilly Elegy, and 26% with the critics. Now, is it a bad movie? I mean, to be 26% with the critics means it's a bad movie.
Right.
Except
so why does this compromise Rotten Tomatoes?
Because I don't trust them anymore.
Oh,
just
really?
Like I don't trust the Oscars, just like I don't trust USA Today, just like I don't trust New York Times. You read something in New York Times, you read a headline. Now, it doesn't mean anything.
I read it only to know what they're saying. I never read it for information.
Right, but it used to mean something.
Oh, there's no comparison.
Right, and Rotten Tomatoes used to mean something. So if I was thinking about watching a movie and I saw it was very low with the critics and high with the people, if I was looking to see our movie, 10 years ago I'd go 47% with the critics, must not be a good movie. Now I say, what's the movie about? Who's in it? Did Clint Eastwood direct it? And if I find out that there's any connection to anything conservative, then I realize it was deflated, thus losing credibility.
So it's not Rotten Tomatoes' fault. It's Rotten Tomatoes is reporting the flaw.
Right. And you're correct. You're smart to bring that up. The critics are so left-wing and so indoctrinated in the whole system.
They're horrible. That's correct. You know, all of the niche reporters, sports reporters, are you can't get left of sports reporters. These people are, for example, they fanatically led the campaign against the Washington Redskins name, which American Indians supported, Native Americans, 90%, Washington Post poll. But racist. Now, the ultimate asininity is they pushed against the Cleveland Indians. What is possibly anti-Indian about having the name of a people Indians. I'm sure you've heard this, but I'm sure your listeners, many have not. Guy called me years ago. He says, well, Cleveland Indians, you're for that, Dennis? I go, yeah. Well, what would you think, because I'm Jewish? He goes, what would you think if there were a team named the Jews? And I said, sir, Jews have been looking for fans for 3,000 years. Wouldn't it be a great day in Jewish history? Jews! I'm a Jews fan! What could be wrong with that?
Well, first things first. You know, we've kind of lost motivation. Motivation's a big deal for me. So what I mean is why would somebody name something a warrior or redskin or an Indian or whatever? Like, why, when you are looking for a name for your team,
right,
you do not go tree sloth. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Right. Well, that's right. Bums.
Yeah, well, yes. They pick, people pick Vikings, not,
yes,
not because they agree with Leif Erikson.
Right.
It's just like,
but it's bold.
Right, right.
Exactly. It's a compliment.
Of course it's a compliment. The point is everything needs to be undone. That's
you got it.
What it is.
Everything needs to be undone.
Was needs to be undone.
Right. And then there's no end.
No. Well, there is no end. Here's the reason there's no end. Everything that happens before today or happened before today needs to be undone. So get hold of me next Wednesday.
That's
there's going to be
exactly
five more days that need to be undone.
That's right. Exactly.
And if you don't believe me, look at, if you've been around long enough, it's starts off as, Mexican, and then it goes Chicano, and then it goes Latino, and then it goes Latinx or
that,
whatever.
I love
the
Latinx.
Just to keep going.
That's my favorite. I thought about that, Latinx. What was I thinking of? There was another group. Oh, yeah, Filipinx.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. Well, no. See, that's the beauty. You go, oh, really?
I didn't know.
No, exactly. There's no way to know.
Right.
That's the
point.
There's
no way to know.
Yes.
Because it's all so absurd. So,
in fact, and they're changing Kleenex to Kleeno, lest it be confused with Latinx.
I was listening to your show today. You were talking about that couple that was thrown off the American or United flight?
Yeah.
United flight with the two-year-old. It is so insane. I watched the video after hearing it on your program, and you really forget what a two-year-old is. I mean, a two-year-old is not capable of taking instruction.
Yes.
And there was a part that was particularly disturbing to me about that. The dad was saying, I am holding the mask over the kid's face.
That's
I am doing
that was
it
not
right
enough.
Now. And
yes.
It's like, no, off.
Right.
Off this
plane. And the dad can take it off when he eats.
You bring up that point a lot. I bring up that point a lot. I took a one-hour flight 2 months ago. 20 minutes in, they were handing out the snacks.
Right.
In between handing out the snacks, they were telling everyone to put their mask on or pull their mask up, and then they hand you snacks. The flight was at 10:30 in the morning till 11:30. That is a window where people probably don't need to snack. You could eat your breakfast, and then you could white knuckle it until lunch if you had to.
Right.
But sure enough, hand out waters, hand out snacks, and so it's kind of akin to Gavin Newsom going to the French Laundry. Like, do you really believe this? If you really believed it, why are you handing out snacks on a 55-minute flight?
That's right. That's correct.
We're going to talk at some point during this segment to a restaurant owner from Burbank, California. Tin Horn Flats, I think, was the name of the place. He just said, I'm staying open.
Good. I'm going to visit him.
Yeah.
Really? What's the name? I want to go there.
Tin Horn Flats.
Tin Horn Flats, yeah. It's a saloon, Adam.
It's probably...
Tin Horn Flats?
Yeah.
From where we're sitting, it's probably 2.7 miles from here.
Good.
Literally,
Max.
if I know the area.
I'll jog. That was a joke. You shouldn't have laughed, but it's okay.
You and I always kind of wonder out loud, why are more people not defying this? Why are more people not standing up?
It's one of the most painful episodes of my life, actually. I had such a reverence for the American people, and I still do for many, obviously. But I would not have predicted the herd-like response to an irrational. That's the point. If it's rational, I have no issue.
Mm-hmm.
There are laws that are – you stop at a red light. That's extremely rational.
Right.
It's not herd-like to stop at a red light.
Right.
But to watch a family thrown off a plane because a two-year-old won't put on a mask, this is a new chapter in American history. Or to watch all of these businesses close, many forever, there's no science. They even acknowledge the reason is to keep people home. It is not because you will get COVID at a restaurant.
Right. So couple of thoughts. One is when the head of California's health, whatever, came out and said, well, there is no science, as you said, behind not eating outdoors. We're just doing it to keep people at home. I would argue that's not his decision.
He
is there to look at the science and figure out whether it's safe or not to eat outside. Trying to convince everyone to stay home when it's safe to go somewhere and eat, that'll be my decision.
Right.
And then where does this end? So if you get to just say whatever you want and make whatever fiat decree you want because you've decided it's in this greater good of your master plan, well, how? By the way, where is the ending point for that? Where?
Right. Well,
if you can do things without science, then what stops you from the next thing?
Well, even in the name of science, unless it's an emergency that I can't imagine, but I'll tell you where it's going next is going to be if we can take people's freedom away for a virus. Can't we certainly take their freedom away for something that threatens the existence of humanity, namely global warming?
Right.
And that's next.
I have a thought. I'm curious because we like to approach these things from a sort of psychological standpoint. Trying to think of, what is that syndrome where hostages start
Stockholm
start feeling sympathetic for their takers, hostage takers?
Right.
I think California has Stockholm syndrome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We are uniquely qualified to be disciplined and pushed around by the government because we have been like the proverbial frog slowly boiling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, California.
And we're so used to all these regulations.
It's so overregulated.
That's right.
And we're so used to the government saying you can't do this and you can't do that. And anyone who's owned a business or tried to build anything or pull a permit or any of that thing, we are so beaten down and so conditioned. I don't think this would fly in many other states. But here, we are so sort of we are so fatigued and so weakened by the last, you know, several decades of way overreach, overregulation, way too many rules that we then can easily transition into this. You know, I have this thought. I was actually talking to Mike August, who books this show, earlier today. We were talking about Elon Musk and moving to Texas.
Right.
And I don't think, and I'd be curious to get your take on it. I don't think for Elon Musk, the pandemic sent him to Texas. He's been trying to do business in the state of California for 20 years. He's seen so much regulation and EEOC and union stuff and lawyer stuff and so much insane regulation, especially if you're going to do aerospace or manufacturing. There's so much expense, so much overreach, so much regulation that the COVID is just the straw that broke the camel's back. I suspect many people who are leaving are not leaving because of COVID. COVID is – this is – for business people in California, it is a very bad marriage that's been going on for a long time, and COVID is just you catching your partner cheating. Now it's over.
I completely agree. What is amazing to me is how I truly believe that Newsom and the Democratic Party do not care about Musk leaving. You would think that all these businesses leaving would worry the Democrats because of the economy of the state. But they are so ideologically pure that it doesn't matter if the state fails. I truly believe that because, you know my motto, everything the left touches, it destroys. California is a great example of something magnificent that the left has ruined. To walk in downtown San Francisco is to hop over fecal matter, human fecal matter, syringes, urine, vomit. And we have never seen this many people living outdoors, called homeless, in modern American history. And that doesn't bother them either. It's a form of chaos. So they're leaving. I know so many people personally who were leaving. You know Vinny Tortorich?
Yep.
You brought me in touch with him.
Sure.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, what I thought. He's in Virginia.
Right.
Lived here, I don't know, most of his life.
Well, here's the two groups, basically. There's more than this, but there are the group of people that were sort of born and bred here that remember what it used to be like and who are getting out. And then there are the people like Vinny or Elon Musk, I believe Elon, or many other people. So there is Ben Shapiro, who's been here his whole life, knows what it used to be, sees what it is, and leaves. Then there's Vinny Tortorich, who grew up in Louisiana, but came here to California because he was chasing the dream. It was the promised land.
Right.
And then he came here, and in a way, it's a bigger indictment of California, Vinny Tortorich leaving, than Ben Shapiro. Because Vinny came here.
Like me.
Yes, came here to do
right.
something. He wasn't, you know, when you're just born here, you're kind of here. Vinny came here to pursue a dream.
Right.
Pursued that dream,
right.
Led that dream, and then saw what was going on and got out.
Right. It's like falling in love later in life and they betray you.
Right.
It's not like the high school sweetheart. It didn't work out.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
So, again, Vinny's a greater indictment of how bad California is because he came here because it was so good.
As I did. And I remember it. It was the first time I flew to L.A. I remember I was at Kennedy Airport. I was a New Yorker. And I looked up at the board and it said Los Angeles. I can't tell you. It may not even make sense to you how exciting for this New York-born boy to make his first trip out here and see it on the board. I'm going on that plane. And now to say you're going to Los Angeles, why would you do that?
Everybody I know is either making plans to leave or everyone I know is kind of figuring, again, I just talked to Mike August about this. He's like, I'm going to Arizona for Christmas. You know, my family and
we
were going to go to Carlsbad, but that's all closed down. So everyone is just picking up.
I'm going to Florida in 2 days for a week. One of my sons is there. And do you know the joy it will be to eat in a restaurant?
Yes.
Not just outside a restaurant. You know, DeSantis has never closed down Florida.
Right.
They hate him because he's a living proof that this is unworkable. It doesn't work. It destroys. Florida's thriving. Florida has the, except for Maine, for whatever reason, Florida has the greatest percentage of old people in the United States. And in sheer numbers, the greatest number. And they have low COVID death rates with an open society.
Right. But that makes you a science denier or
yes,
COVID denier?
It makes me a science affirmer, ironically, but I don't equate scientists with science. You know, the guy wrote in, I don't know if you heard this on my show yet, but I got so angry. I try to not because I don't want to get a heart attack, but I get angry when I read these things. A doctor who writes a column for the New York Times said that the doctors who advocate hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin should be sued for malpractice, should actually be removed from medical practice. These are doctors, I mean, some of the most prestigious doctors in the country. They are saving lives. Like this guy, Vladimir Zelenko in New York.
We've had him on.
Yeah. He wants these people knocked out of med. This is what the New York Times publishes. That's why you don't read it. I read it for the same reason. This will really... You know, I went to the Soviet Union when I was 21 because, you know, from the movie, No Safe Spaces is a funny scene of me as 21 years old. Anyway, I learned Russian not to read Dostoevsky. I learned it to read Pravda. That was the Soviet newspaper, the chief newspaper.
All right.
I wanted to know.
Tell people what Pravda means.
Means truth. Right.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Which is a major joke. By the way, you'll love this joke. So there were two major papers, Pravda and Izvestia. So Izvestia means news. And there was a joke in Russia. There's no Pravda in Izvestia, and there's no Izvestia in Pravda. There's no news in the truth. There's no truth in the news. Anyway, this is painful for me to tell you, but I read the New York Times the same way I read Pravda. I read between the lines. I know I'm being lied to, just like I did with Pravda, but I want to know what the opposition, what the destructive force has to say. That's why I read the New York Times. That's why you don't have to.
I had a conversation with somebody on Saturday and kind of talking. You know, I think there's this thing where they go, a lot of people, I go, look, CNN, I don't trust it anymore.
Right.
Everything has an angle. And they go, well, Fox does the same thing the other direction. They go, okay, but it's not to the extent. And, I mean, they have their point of view, and CNN has their point of view, but they take it to an extreme. And I said, take hydroxychloroquine. CNN's against hydroxychloroquine. Why? Where's the news? Where's the reporting? Can you not investigate this medication that's been around for 60 years and billions of people have taken it? Can't just take the one subject of hydroxychloroquine. Okay, Fox is for it and CNN is against it. Well, one of them's right and one of them's wrong. And I was saying that in the middle of it, she goes, I'm on hydroxychloroquine. I said, you are? She said, I have mild lupus. I said, oh, how long have you been on it? Oh, years.
Of course.
I said, okay, is there...
Right. How are the side effects?
Well, here's my thing with the New York Times and the doctor wrote the piece. And it's funny. This popped in my head. You know, we talk about science. I don't think they're anti-science. They claim we're anti-science. I'm pro numbers.
Right.
I want to know how long this medication has been around, how many times it's been handed out. Dr. Drew told me it's the only medication he's aware of that you don't have to get off of when you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how safe that is. He was researching
it. What a great point. I knew that and I forgot it. That's a great point.
How dangerous could a medication be if you don't have to get off?
You're not supposed to have a glass of wine while you're pregnant.
Right.
But you could have hydroxychloroquine.
Right. So then let's talk numbers, New York Times and CNN. Then you give us...
Right. Well,
first off, remember how dangerous this was 6 months ago? Well, now we're going to have a bunch of data about how dangerous it was that people are taking hydroxychloroquine
like
six
me.
Months ago.
Just for the record, me too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now give us that data.
Right.
Or you just want to keep saying it's dangerous.
Yeah. I've had a side effect. I've been very healthy. I've hugged hundreds of strangers since March. Hundreds.
Well, I'm not a physician, but if something's been around for 60 years and it's been taken worldwide and people are on it for lupus sort of perpetually and African nations, people are just on it.
Because of malaria.
Because of malaria. Well, how dangerous could it be?
That's right. So it's a lie that it's dangerous. That's what I mean.
Well, my feeling is CNN and or the New York Times could easily get this information if they wanted it.
That's right.
They choose not to.
That's right.
And so, thus, they're lying through omission.
And commission.
And
in this case, it's commission. Usually, it's omission. It was omission on Hunter Biden's laptop.
Right.
Now they're reporting it.
Right.
Now that Biden is theoretically elected.
My curiosity is why people still stick with these organizations. Is it just that they confirm what they have been thinking.
Yes, that is correct. But there's it's a very good question. The left has been spectacularly effective at demonizing conservatives, as it's done every day. You're smeared, I'm smeared. I mean, you know me. I'm a pretty nice guy. I mean, I have a good soul, I have a good heart. I mean, I may be wrong, but I'm not a fascist. I'm not a racist. I'm not an imperialist. I'm not a homophobe. Do you know that at the University of Wyoming, they had a whole list when I came to speak? The usual six herb, you know, sexist, intolerant, xenophobic, homophobic, racist, bigoted, and anti-Semitic.
All right.
That's what they actually wrote in the Wyoming newspaper.
Give us your Jewish bona fides right now.
Oh, yes. Well, it would take a long time, but basically, how's this? Okay, I'm an observant religious Jew. I founded a synagogue. I founded a Jewish day school. I am the co-author of the most widely used introduction to Judaism, and I'm writing the most widely used commentary on the Torah. I'm up to volume 3.
All right. So anti-Semitic.
And I'm anti-Semitic.
Maybe you're agnostic on Jews. Can we downgrade you to agnostic?
Oh, God, is that it? Don't start me, please. When I think that 3/4 of the American Jews voted against Trump, it's just depressing. To vote for the party that has bona fide anti-Semites, that people who hate Israel are becoming stronger and stronger in the Democratic Party, and Trump brings peace to the Middle East. And do they know that last week Morocco opened up relations with Israel?
No, but they know hydroxychloroquine is a killer.
That is so true.
That's what they know.
Yes, and Moroccan hydroxychloroquine is particularly dangerous now that they've made peace with Israel.
All right, we have Mr. Barrett. Is Barrett his last name or his first name? Because
that's his first name.
Oh, because he said he went to high school with me, and I do remember Barrett.
Barrett Lapagian.
Oh, yeah, I know Barrett.
Yeah.
Is he a grade ahead of me? I got to figure this one out.
We can give him a call. You want to?
Well, yeah. Were we going to bring him on?
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we let me give a plug out. No Safe Spaces, available now on DVD. You can stream No Safe Spaces as well. NoSafeSpaces.com. Watch it with your kids. It's not one of these things you have to get through like a tutorial. It's very entertaining, and it's got a lot of laughs in it as well. And I think you'll find it an important movie. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with Dennis and the owner of Tin Horn Flats, who has basically announced that he is not closing down. And we also want to talk about this Colorado family that was kicked off the United Airlines flight. We'll do that right after this.
Adam Carolla's I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all woke, no joke culture, has over 1,000 5-star reviews on Amazon. Here's one.
I must admit that ordering the book after hearing Mr. Carolla say this must bring publisher of World Touch, I was curious, and it was the prolaule so glad and read it.
Dude, solid. You gotta read the book. Pick up I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, and leave your 5-star review on Amazon. Get all the links at adamcarolla.com.
Well, back for part two with the great Dennis Prager. Again, No Safe Spaces, that is our movie. And you can support people like us and our cause and a good film if you want to go to nosafespaces.com. And again, watch it with the kids. It's an important film. Barrett Lapagian, who's a name I know from high school, is the owner of Tin Horn Flats, or at least he runs it, and he has vowed to stay open. Dennis and I have wondered out loud quite a few times why more businesses do not defy this sort of tyrannical dictator known as Gavin Newsom. You know that attorney Mark Garagos is on the show a lot talking about suing the state, suing the L.A. County. It's unfortunately, this is what it's going to take. Sadly, people are just going to have to start standing up. I wish there was an end game. I don't know that there is an end game. I can never. The scariest part about any human quality is not knowing the motivation. So if you tell me
somebody robs banks, I'll go, well, I don't work at a bank, and neither do my kids. So as much as I don't like it, I'll sleep fine tonight. And if you tell me that this husband killed his wife of 31 years to collect the insurance, I will say, well, that's bad for her, but I'm not in that kind of relationship. But if someone is randomly killing people with a hammer at bus stops, then I'm frightened.
That's right.
That's the scariest person in our society. And having a governor that's shutting down the state, not based on any data or science, that's scary because if somebody takes someone as a hostage and they say, all right, we'll give you your child back, give me $100,000, you can deal with that person. If they say, I just want your child, I'm not negotiating, that's the scariest position of all. And that's what I feel like Newsom is doing.
Well, but I think people should be aware there is a recall campaign, and if enough people sign it, we can, in fact, make it possible. And then, of course, it is correct to say, well, there'll just be another Democrat who'll do the same thing, and that's correct. So you keep recalling the people who are ruining the state, and eventually they'll get the message. You don't stay in power. If we don't fight over this, then we won't fight over anything. This is as clear an example of immoral, unscientific, and irrational destruction as we have experienced in America. And if we don't fight back, we don't deserve the words of the national anthem, the land of the free and the home of the brave.
The scariest elements to our society, I've always said, it's not the governor, it's not the powers that be. It's not any of these entities. It's the individuals who are agreeing with them, calling us, you know, COVID deniers and wanting us to be deplatformed. That the individuals. I got a Chris. We can wait till Barrett is ready to go.
Yeah.
I had a text. Remember that text that woman sent me about getting to work and helping other people and doing a live show. Oh, I think Gary had it. We did it during a Reasonable Doubt. It was a tweet I liked, but it was basically somebody tweeted me the usual. Instead of like spewing out your agenda, why don't you try to help people? And it's like, well, first things first. I'm asking that these small businesses reopen. What is my agenda?
Yeah, that is your agenda. That people be able to feed their families. That's a good agenda.
Yes.
And by the way, no one's forcing you to go to a restaurant. I don't quite get it.
Right.
When they legalize meth in Oregon.
Right.
But they ban eating in a restaurant. Do you understand how sick things have gotten?
So Betsy Duggins suggested a few days ago on Twitter, instead of spewing out your agenda, why not do something for the people out of work? Well, I have about 30 employees, and none of them have missed one paycheck because of COVID. So I have a large group of people who work with me in many different capacities, some on the podcast, others in the filmmaking world, other guys, the car guys, carpenters. If you tallied it all up, there'd probably be about 30 people. Nobody's missed one paycheck. So that's...
Yeah, but what have you done for working people?
Well, I did something for the goddamn 30 people who have never missed a paycheck. But anyway, she wanted to know why don't I do something for the people out of work? God knows how many employees she has. And she also suggests I should do a comedy show and give back to these workers. Well, I have done benefit shows. I went to Houston and did benefit shows and gave all the money from the show to the workers of the Houston Improv. All the waiters, all the kitchen workers, everybody. So thank you, Betsy. I'm not sure what you've done, but those things you've suggested that I do, I have done both of those things. This is the problem. Betsy's the problem. Newsom's not the problem.
That's right.
Betsy's the problem. Newsom's a rogue, idiot, narcissist. There's many more Betsy's than there are Newsom's in the world. There's really only one Newsom. but there's a whole bunch of Betsy's who want to settle my hash for keeping the lights on, keeping my employees paid, taking care of everybody, and doing benefit shows. And they think I'm the problem. Meanwhile, I don't know what Betsy does, but I'll bet you she doesn't employ a whole bunch of people, and I'll bet you she doesn't do benefit shows.
This, by the way, is
this
why
is the problem.
I have a speech up on the talking about it was actually the one at the University of Wyoming. It's called "How Socialism Makes You Selfish," and this is a perfect example. The most of your listeners don't know this. Most people don't know this. Americans give much more charity than Europeans. And I'm talking about people in the exact same salary level, socioeconomic status. And the Americans also volunteer far more time to helping others than Europeans. And there's a simple reason. Not that Americans are innately better. It's that Europeans have been raised since World War II to believe that I don't have to take care of my neighbor. The government will. It's as simple as that. Socialism or big government makes people worse human beings. It's as simple as that. You like this woman. What she meant is not what are you doing for workers. What are you doing to get the government to help workers? Why don't we print more money and make money worth less, by the way, which is nobody wants to talk about how the American dollar will be worth less to everybody, especially poor people. So the rich can handle inflation. The poor can't. So this is a perfect example. We believe I take care of my neighbor. That is the American ideal. I take care of me. I take care of my neighbor. I take care of my community. The left believes the government takes care of you, your family, your community. Tell me which produces better people.
Exactly right. Barrett LePagian, who was in my graduating class at North Hollywood High in 1982, is on line one. Barrett?
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Barrett.
How you doing?
It's good. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yes, sir. It sure has.
You have any recollections of me in high school?
No, are you kidding? Yeah. I figured you were going to be somebody pretty cool and famous. You know, you were the funniest guy in our class for sure. But yeah, man, congratulations on everything.
Well, congratulations on taking a stand against Newsom. Dennis Prager is in studio with us, so he'll ask you a couple questions as well. So first, tell me about the history of Tin Horn Flats.
I've owned it since January of 2004, and it used to be across the street from my family business. My family had a photo lab for years and years. You know, my dad started it in the early 70s in Burbank. And it's something, you know, I was friendly with the owner of Tin Horn Flats, and she just approached me in 04 and said, hey, look, I'm getting too old for this. You want it? And I knew nothing about the bar or restaurant business, but, you know, I loved it at the time just because it was across the street and it was my favorite place. And it was just that simple. It was just something I sort of bought as an investment that came my way.
And the business since COVID, let's go through the different machinations. So first, we get the news that in California that everything's closed down, and closed down only outdoor dining, or was it originally just closed down for all dining?
No, it was originally closed down, shut, tight. You know what I mean? Everybody hiding in their house, you know, no outdoor dining, no nothing. That lasted for, wasn't it about a month? I don't even remember. I mean, this thing's been such a nightmare now. It's just, but it was at least a month that we were completely shut down. No indoor, no outdoor.
And the neck of the woods that Barrett's in Burbank is a bustling area with movie theaters and clubs and bars, and people go there and walk around the promenade, and they'll go to Tin Horn Flats and have a burger and a beer, and then go see a movie, walk across and go see a movie. So it's a very busy area there. How many employees did you have at your peak?
Total, Adam, between the morning shift and the late shift, I mean, I'd say about 15, 16 people when we're, you know, just normal schedules.
And Then the decree went out, which is you can do outdoor dining.
So when then the decree went out that you could do takeout.
Oh, right.
And, you know, to be honest with you, that's the worst thing that could happen. Because now you're actually functioning as a restaurant. Now you're starting to pay for staff again. Now you gotta have food, and you know they allowed the peons to serve liquor too. You know, so now you gotta be staffed so you don't look like an idiot when your customers do call in and try and take to go. So all your expenses are pretty much all right there, but you're getting about 10 to 15%.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
and.
But for us, it was a disaster.
What happened then when they opened it up to just outdoor dining?
Well, first, didn't they open it up? Yeah. They did open it up to indoor.
Yeah, space.
Then only outdoor. Right.
Right.
So outdoor dining for us worked out because we have a huge outdoor patio. I mean, our outdoor capacity is probably as big as our indoor capacity. The restaurant is sort of divided 50-50 indoor outdoor. So that was okay, you know. And of course, you know, they made us spend a bunch of money on COVID features, let's just say.
Sanitizers.
You know, so most restaurants did that.
Right.
I'm sorry?
Sanitizers.
So
exactly. Sanitizers. Right. And, you know, temperatures and right. You know, just all the stuff that went into having to do whatever you had to do to stay open.
So then that was working okay. And, you know, a lot of that is complete and utter luck of the draw. Some places are...
Right, have no outdoors.
You go to some of these places in Beverly Hills, there's just a sidewalk in front of the place.
Right.
And any place. And then the other places happen to have a patio.
True, but they were allowing people... to actually put tables and chairs outdoors without, you know, going through the full permit situation.
Right.
So that I got to give to them. They were very accommodating there for 1 second.
So now that they've closed down outdoor dining with no science behind it and announced they're just doing it to keep people at home, you have defied that order.
You know, I mean, we closed for about a week, and then I work with my kids, who aren't really kids anymore. My son's 20 years old, Lucas LePagian, and then my daughter's Talia LePagian, who's 24, almost 25. And you know, I mean, the bills don't stop, Adam. I mean, the satellite bill. You know, we're paying for the NFL. We're paying all those bills keep coming. You know, workman's comp doesn't stop. All the bullshit permits that you got to deal with in the state of California. You know, you have to have a permit to have a license. You have to have a permit to have an alarm. You have to have a permit to have a dog.
By the way,
really,
I think his first mistake was correct. Yeah. You probably do need a permit to have a license.
Yeah, I know.
And then you need a license
to have
a permit.
To have a business license.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Yeah, it's way over-regulated.
So none of that stops.
None
stops. Is my point, you know?
Right. And so now where are we at? Are you open right now?
You know what? We're open right now. And then, you've got a lot of, I mean, folks are terrified too, you know, as far as staff, you know, some of our staff, and we work with them. It's like whoever doesn't want to work doesn't have to. And then we've got some staff that are like us. They're like, okay, this is all ridiculous. It's all. So, I mean, we pick and choose. We certainly don't hold anything against if somebody doesn't want to work, they don't have to. I mean, you know, everybody's masked. We're only doing the outdoor. You know, there's some restaurants doing indoor, outdoor. They're going all out. They're saying, you know, screw this, and we're just going to go back. We're trying to keep some sort of, you know, composure and deal with the rules and deal with all that. So we're outdoor and to go right now, and it's going good. We're busy, but as my son says, it's kind of an unfair monopoly. You know, I feel bad for all my friends that are up and down the street with restaurants. I mean, it's such a ridiculous situation, gentlemen.
Right.
I can't even believe this is happening. It's unbelievable.
Barrett, I'm going to ask you a question, and you're totally free not to answer it. And my only agenda in asking it is to understand how people think. What was your what prior to let's say this past year? What was your general political affiliation?
Oh, I tend to be conservative. You know, it's just, and Dennis, you know, no, that's a great question. I tend to be super conservative fiscally, but I tend to be very liberal in other ways, though. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, I don't think you guys want me to get into politics, but I'm one of those guys that think every American should have health care. That shouldn't even be a question. You know, no one should be left without health care. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how broke you are. I don't care about your job status. Everybody should have health care. But on the other hand, you know, I love our president. I love Trump. I think this whole thing's bullshit, the whole election. The guy would have 30,000 people at his rallies, and there would be six people for Biden, and somehow Biden won. You know, I don't even want to get into how corrupt I think our country has become under left liberal extreme leadership.
So
look
Barrett,
at New York. Look at California.
That's right. So has
we're
it
screwed? A, has it a, yeah, we're screwed. That's where I'm at.
Do
with
you
politics.
Think that? And I want you to answer totally honestly, not what you think. I want you to answer. Do you think
that the
Democratic Party cares if you stay in business?
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I think they want me out of business. Mm-hmm. There's no two ways about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how could they be doing any of this? And then keep in mind, Newsom has his winery open still to this day. I didn't even know that a few days ago. I could never have imagined. And my son goes, Dad, you know, I forget what the Scum's winery is called. I had it in front of me a second ago. But he goes, Dad,
it's
you know
Scum's
Newsom's
winery,
got his winery open.
Mistaken.
I'm like, no way. I go, are you sure? Yeah, I just verified it. I actually called just to see if they're really open, and they didn't take the call, and they called me back. They're like, sir, yes, I. Would you like to book a party?
Well,
like, oh, my God,
well,
you know?
Barrett, so a couple things. One is, I know you feel sorry for your friends in the restaurant business up and down the street that are shuttered, but they don't have to be shuttered. They could open like you are. They could do it. And if everyone did it at once, there's nothing they could do about it. So I understand you respect them, but they have a choice as well. And you made this choice, and you made a bold choice, and you should be commended for that. And I want to tell people where you are, because I want to send people your direction. You're 2623 West Magnolia Boulevard in Burbank. Have the police showed up?
Yeah, they are literally the beam of sunshine. You know, like I said, Adam, my father owned a business since the early 70s in Burbank, and the Burbank PD's just been amazing. They're epic. You know, I mean, I know LAPD has some issues or whatever, but Burbank police are just a different cut above.
What have they done?
They show up. They show up and they just basically come in and they smile at my two kids that are operating. And they're like, guys, we were called and we have to show up. And then, you know, they'll just sort of talk about things. Hey, what's going on? You guys doing okay? They'll take a look around. They'll see that everyone's enjoying themselves. They'll actually see that we are making some kind of a try to do all the right things, even though I think all of the rules are bullshit. But that's a whole other thing. We're giving it our best shot to comply, you know? And they just sort of joke around with my kids and then just say, good luck, man. You know, just we hope everything works out for you, and they leave. They have to come out just because they were called, you know?
Hey.
But the problem for us is, so does the health department, and so does ABC. I mean, you've got half the population right now, Dennis and Adam, that are out of their mind. They're literally out of their mind. They have finally found in their loser life that moment of time where they think they're important. You know, they've all banded together to snitch on others and to close businesses down.
Scariest part
of
society.
You know, when we were kids, I was just going to say, when we were kids, half the people were always kind of off. Well, now they've all come out as liberals. So that's where we're at.
Well, Barrett, in closing, I have been talking to Dr. Drew because one of my greatest joys is going out to a meal with somebody I enjoy. That is one of Dennis's greatest joys. For anyone who likes ideas and thoughts and discussions, especially when you get to go out with Dennis Prager or Dr. Drew, it's a great conversation.
I bet, Adam.
We were hanging out in Pasadena for a while because Pasadena defied the order, and now Pasadena's closed. So I said to Drew, God, you know, I really miss our dinners. And then we sort of thought, about me buying a steak and putting it in a styrofoam container and bringing it to his house. And it just didn't sound that fantastic. And he said,
no,
find a restaurant that is defying Newsom and we will go there to eat. And I think we found our restaurant. I'll extend the invitation to Dennis if he'd like to join us as well.
I'd love it.
So,
well, thanks, guys. I so appreciate that.
How late do you open?
we're closed on Mondays. Every other day, we're open 12 noon till 9.
Okay.
9 p.m. at night.
Then I'm done here. I'm going to call Dr. Drew, and I'm going to call you off the air, and I'm going to get us a little reservation going there. And we're going to come in.
You got it, Adam.
We're going to
eat
there.
You got it. Thank you, man.
Barrett LePagian, again, Tin Horn Flats Saloon and Grill. I'll be happy to see you in person and shake your bare hand.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you, Dennis.
My pleasure.
Thanks,
thank you. See, this gives you hope. The Barretts of the country give you hope. The woman who made the video, which I'm sure you saw, you know, where...
Yeah, Pineapple Saloon.
Is that what it is?
Something like
that.
Yeah,
she couldn't have outdoor dining in the exact same parking lot that they gave, Garcetti gave a permit to Hollywood to make a film.
Hey, look. We've been waiting around for a very long period of time, watching businesses go under, never to return, and we've been just waiting for the powers that be to make the right decisions. It is now clear that they're not making the right decisions, and now we are going to have to make our own decisions. And I would hope that all those restaurants, Barrett's neighbors, would open up, and we could then, again, as you say, as I always say, if you don't feel it's safe, then don't go.
I don't understand it. Exactly.
Home.
That's right. That's right.
All right, let me hit Simply Safe here. Break-ins on the rise during the holidays. Simply Safe's having a huge holiday sale, 40% off any system and a free security camera. Whether you're traveling or staying put for the holidays, you can check out the 40% plus free security camera deal before it ends. Simply Safe, it's a great organization, great product. U.S. News and World Report calls it the best home security of 2020. CNET gives it their Editor's Choice Awards. Forbes and Popular Mechanics called the best of 2020. And again, we all use it here. They've been with us for, about a decade now. Peel and stick, no pulling wires, no drilling. Batteries last up to 10 years. And set it up yourself in less than 30 minutes. Then Simply Safe's professionals take over, monitoring your home 24/7, ready to send help at a moment's notice. When they hear that alarm, they are on it. No long-term contract, hidden fees, or installation costs. And right now, our listeners get a free home security camera with purchase of Simply Safe. And if you get the system, you're going to get the camera for free. SimplySafe.com/Adam. 60-day risk-free trial. Visit Simply, two eyes, SimplySafe.com/Adam and get your free security camera. All right, Dennis Prager and me, no safe spaces. No
Have
safe
we mentioned
spaces.
That Netflix wouldn't stream it?
We just did. In a weird way, it's not even worth mentioning it anymore because it just is the new world order. It just is. You know, there's no doubt that Netflix is not going to pick it up and that Rotten Tomatoes critics are going to hate it. I know that going in now, which is the scariest part. I had a conversation with my wife and some of her friends about 8 years ago, and I was making docs, and they were not getting into film festivals and things like that. And I just said, I got to change my name to Jules Dash. And they said, what does that mean? I said, well, with the name Adam Carolla, it's not getting into Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, my wife's friend said, Jules Dash, is that even a man or a woman? I said, exactly. Exactly. And they laughed at me. But eight years later, you're right.
Hey, 1 year ago, actually 1 year and 2 months ago, I was on Bill Maher's show. And he said, oh, Trump lies. The whole panel and the whole audience going, Trump lies. He said, well, it doesn't compare to the left's lies. He goes, what do you mean? That America is a systemically racist society is a gigantic lie. I'll give you another one. Men menstruate. And he just started laughing, and the whole panel laughed at me.
The whole audience laughed.
Yes, they all laughed. What are you talking about, men? What the nonsense? Who says that? Today, 1 year later, if you do not say men menstruate, you are considered a hater.
Meaning transgendered, whatever, I'm just for some clarification, that a woman can then identify as a man.
Yeah, but they don't say it that way.
Right.
You can't say that.
I know. Well, I think that, I just did.
Yes.
The Dennis Prager Show, Monday through Friday, and you can listen to the podcast at Pragertopia, which I always do as well. It's
thank you.
It's I listen to it out in SoCal from 10 a.m. to – oh, sorry, from 9 a.m. to noon every day. So, and PragerU, PragerU.com. Me, Naples, Florida, Off the Hook Comedy Club. Uh-oh, that sounds dangerous. I'll be there January 16th and 17th. We'll do live podcasts and stand-up as well, and also do a show in Burbank at the Pickwick Bowling Alley over there January 23rd. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Gina Grad, Mull Bryan, and Dennis Prager saying – mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, we might put it on the air, so please do 888-634-1744. And make sure you pick up Adam's book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere, and all the links and everything else are at AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.